All right. Amen. Again, it's good to see everybody here this morning. I do want to thank you again, Brother George, for the pulpit. And Brother Chris, I want to thank you again for the one that you made. You know, I really love everybody in this church. You know, you guys have all sacrificed a lot, you know, over the last year to make this thing work, you know, and I really am proud. I don't want to start some kind of a pulpit war between Chris and George. So I wanted to just say, you know, I appreciate you guys, all right? So anyways, let's move on here. So I'm probably not going to preach as long as I normally do this morning because the other day I was working on the stacked washer and dryer, and I took the top off, and about 30 years worth of lint shot up right in my nose, and I've kind of felt weird ever since then. And and so I don't know if I inherited a cold from this thing or what, but I don't feel like I have a cold, but you know, I woke up this morning with no voice, and so I'm just not feeling as good as I normally am, but we'll get through it. So if you look down there, you're in 1 Samuel 21, look at verse number 13. It says, "And he changed his behavior," talking about David. It says, "And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard." If you're wondering what that word feign means, it means to pretend, right? It means to fake. That's what he's talking about. So what this verse is saying is that David was in fear and he pretended in this moment to be somebody who he wasn't. He pretended to be a madman. He pretended to be crazy. Now, the title of my sermon is, "Are You Real or Real Fake?" Are you real or real fake? You see, there's nothing worse. Well, there's a few things that are worse. But there's maybe not much more disappointing than getting to know somebody and realizing that they're nothing but a fake. Yeah. You know what I mean? And we've all seen that, you know, and I hate to bring this up again, but it needs to be brought up again. You know, the family that just left our church, you know, guess what? They were fake. You know what? They were fake. And oftentimes when a situation like this happens, we have to spend some time just sweeping up the house a little bit, just making sure that everything is clean and ready to go. And I don't think that anybody in here is fake, and I'm not preaching against anybody in here. And you know what? I don't care about people's feelings as much as some do. So you know, you can trust me. You can believe me. You know, if I had a problem with you, I would tell you, or I would preach against it. You know, so don't think that I'm getting weak or soft on you. Right? I just wanted to preach this just to make sure we don't have a problem. But nonetheless, there's a lot of good things that we can learn from these stories in the Bible about being fake. Right? We should never be fake. Right? The Christian that you portray yourself on Sunday should be the Christian that you portray yourself to your coworkers on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Amen. So we need to make sure that we're always real, right? We don't want to be perceived as fake. I remember when I used to work for the government, right? There was always these people that always talked about, you know, "Oh, so-and-so, man, he's such a great worker, and he's gonna rise through the ranks, and he's gonna get promoted, and this and that, and he's coming to our crew, and this is great." And then you go work with him, and the guy's gone half the day at McDonald's or going bowling, and comes back and tells the boss what a great job that we did under his leadership. And it's just frustrating, you know. It's just disappointing, and it's sad, and it's angering, you know. But I'll tell you what, though, those type of people, they always get found out, always, right? You just bide your time. Fake people always get caught. They always get what's coming to them. And so you say, what's one of the main reasons why people pretend to be someone they're not? Well, I'll tell you right now, it's for fear. Look at, back up one verse to verse number 12. So 1 Samuel 21, look at verse 12. It says, "And David laid up these words in his heart," right? Because he sees these guys here, right? Gath, the king of Gath. And he's afraid because of what they say. They realize who he is. Like, oh, this is David. He's killed a lot of people, you know? And he's at this moment like, uh-oh. You know, I've already been dealing with Saul trying to kill me. I've already been on the run. And now I've got to face these guys. And so in his mind, the only way out is to pretend to be somebody else. But look at the verse. It says, "And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath." So I would like to tell you this morning that the main reason why people pretend to be somebody they're not is because of fear. Yeah. Right? In this situation, it's a physical fear, but you're going to see other situations where it's not a physical fear, but maybe a mental fear of not being accepted, right? Or maybe you're high-minded and you think that you're somebody special, but in reality, you know you're not, and you want to protect that image. And so you have a fear of maybe losing that image. Now, keep your place in Samuel, because we're going to kind of come back to this neighborhood throughout the sermon. But go to 1 Kings chapter number 14. 1 Kings chapter number 14. So that's the main reason why people feign themselves to be somebody they're not. It's because of fear. You know, the reason why that your coworkers, who's always, you know, your top dog coworker that's always going to the boss and telling him how good he's doing and how he's motivating you for the day and whatnot, the reason why he feigns himself is because he's lazy. right? He would rather portray himself somebody he's not, because that's easier than actually working hard and earning a reputation, you know, and we're going to kind of see that here as we go through this study. So 1 Kings chapter 14, look at verse number 1. And we're going to see another reason why people feign themselves. It's because not only of physical fear, but in this situation, it's fear of learning the truth. So look at verse 1. It says, at that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And it's talking about Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Verse 2. And Jeroboam said to his wife, arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. Right? So in this situation here, Jeroboam's about to lose his son. His son's sick, and he's afraid. And I believe at this time, he finally, for the first time in his life, probably realizes he is somebody, he has become somebody that he wishes he wasn't. And he wants to get help. He wants to save his son, but he knows that he's a wicked man. He knows that he set up a false religion in the northern kingdom of Israel. And so he knows that, you know, he's not going to get God's favor. And so in his feeble mind at this time, he thinks, well, if I just lie, if I just have my wife lie and pretend to be somebody she's not, maybe God will hear me. Maybe the prophet will bless me. Look at verse 3. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child. And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose, and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. Right? And so maybe they knew this, maybe they didn't. Maybe they thought, well, he's blind, he can't really see, so if you just pretend to be somebody or not, you know, it's really going to get us a blessing, it's really going to get us some help. Verse 5, and the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be, when she cometh in, that she shall feign herself to be another woman. And you're going to see that if you study this subject out, you know, in great detail in the Bible, you're always going to see that God always manifests somebody who's fake every single time. Yeah. It may not be the next day. It may not be when you find out. But at some point in time, God will make sure that the truth comes out. Yeah. Now look at verse 6. And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, come in now, wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. And maybe if you're familiar with the rest of the story, the child winds up dying. He tells her the truth. Hey, you're not going to fool me. You're not going to fool God. He's like, I might be physically blind, but I'm not spiritually blind. I'm not stupid. I wasn't born last night. And another thing that you're going to find as you go through this is that the more you study God's word, the more you meditate on these stories, the more wisdom that you'll get and the more understanding you'll get in discernment. And you'll be able to understand, right, when you're dealing with somebody who's being fake. Yep. So go to 2 Samuel chapter number 1. 2 Samuel chapter number 1. You know what else comes to mind is Abraham, right? When he lied about his wife. Why did he do that? Because of fear, right? You know, he said, well, you know, my wife's really beautiful. These guys are going to overtake me and they're going to take her. And so we'll just lie and tell them, you know, hey, this is my sister. And guess what? That passed on to his son, because Isaac did the same exact thing. You know, they feigned themselves to be people that they really weren't. Why did they do that? Because of fear, right? Because of fear. And so that's another reason why people pretend to be someone they're not, because they're afraid of the truth. They're afraid of being exposed. And that's why these people do this. So here's another one, a fear of not being accepted. 2 Samuel chapter number 1, look at verse 1. It says, now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. And so this is after Saul has already fell upon the sword. He's already committed suicide. His sons die. He's already done all this wickedness, right? The Bible tells us, the Holy Ghost tells us that that's how he died. And now we're going to learn about this Amalekite who wants to find acceptance. He wants to be accepted by David and by his kingdom. He probably has some amount of knowledge and he probably knows, okay, well, David's probably going to take the throne. This is a good opportunity for me to slide in here and maybe get some blessings, get some promotion, get ahead in life. And so what he's going to do is he's going to tell David a lie. But as you're going to see, he gets exposed. So look at verse 2. It came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. So, you know, right off the bat, what is he doing? He's creating a dramatic scene, you know. And of course, even if this guy was being genuine, maybe he would have done the same thing. I don't know. But he's really pouring it on hard with David. And look at verse 3.
And David said unto him, from whence comest thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. Verse 4, and David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. Verse 5, and David said unto the young man that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan, his son, to be dead? And the young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, here am I. And he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said unto me again, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and have brought them hither unto my Lord. Now, right off the bat here, you got to kind of wonder, this guy's an Amalekite. He's not of the children of Israel. He was probably a servant. He was probably, you know, just somebody who was taken from his own land, you know, if you read 1 Samuel 20 or chapter 19, rather. And so David's probably trying to process this information, you know, and he's like, wait a minute, why would he have you kill him? You know, I don't think Saul would want to be remembered as going down by the hand of an Amalekite, somebody who we had conquered. But anyways, you know, he goes on here, verse 11. It says, then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And so you got to understand, a lot of times, you know, when you're in a high stress situation, an emotional time like this, your discernment's probably going to be lowered, right? That's why it's important not to be a fake person. That's why it's important to hone your skills and to learn the Bible and to really have these things sunk down deep into your heart, because you know what? The time that you're going to need them isn't going to be the perfect time. It's going to always be in a time where things are hectic, where the ideal situation is just not there. And that's what you're going to see here with David. Now look at verse 13. It says, and David said unto the young man that told him, whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger Amalekite. And David said unto him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? You see, David didn't act hastily. He didn't act right away. He asked questions, right? He listened to the information. He processed it, even though, you know, his heart went out for Saul, because he still loved him. Remember? I mean, he respected the position that Saul had, right? And not to mention, Jonathan was his best friend. This guy's crushed here. But nonetheless, he was a man after God's own heart. He was somebody who loved the Lord. And you know what? In this situation, it really paid off. It really gave him the discernment to tell that this guy, you know what? This guy's lying to me right now. This guy is fake. He's not being real. Look at verse 15. And David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thine head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. And that's another thing. These fake people, they always wind up getting themselves into a snare that they just can't get out of. Right? Because they sit at home and they think, okay, well, I'm going to say this. And if he says this, I'm going to say this. Then they play this game with themselves, right? But they don't have real wisdom. They don't have real discernment. And so what happens is they wind up exposing themselves. But you know what? You got to be smarter than that. You've got to already have done the wisdom, right? You have to gain the knowledge and use it and apply it so that you can become wise like David. If he hadn't done that, if he hadn't been a man after God's own heart, in this situation, he would have been fooled. He probably would have believed this here. And you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of these people that go around and claiming that they're special forces or claiming that they're Navy SEALs when they really aren't. You know what? Not everybody is born with the physical and mental capabilities to do that. So it's a lot easier to go down to the PX or to go down to the Navy Exchange, you know, these stores on base, and buy the ribbons and come to your hometown and put them on your uniform and tell everybody that you're a Ranger like Terry was, you know? And it's funny, but you might laugh, but it just happens all the time. I remember I was at SeaTac Airport and I saw a guy from my platoon, right? I was on leave. And I saw him, and he had ribbons like down to his rib cage. I'm like, you've been in the Army for a year. I know you. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's got a Ranger tab and a Special Forces tab. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, it gets the girls, man. You know what? But this guy, it's like,
Like, what are you, oh man, you gotta be kidding me. But you know what? Our world's full of people that do stuff like that. You know, stolen valor. They just, it's just easier in their minds to make themselves, to feign themselves to be somebody they're not, than it is to actually go and do the hard work. You know, people that really are like that, they don't always talk about it. They have a different countenance, you know, and that's just the way it is. I remember when I was in Japan those last time, I went to this special Brazilian jiu-jitsu class. This big guy, I forgot his name, that came in and taught this class. And there was a black belt guy there, and I remember I rolled with him and I beat him. And I was like, I should not be able to beat you. You know, this guy's a black belt. And I was like, that's weird. Come to find out, he'd never done Brazilian jiu-jitsu in his life. He just wanted to be accepted. He just figured in his mind, well, if I put this on, I'll get respect to the guys, and they're going to like me, and they're going to, you know, I'm going to gain a whole new set of friends. But really, all that happened is he got spiritually smoked, basically. He just, everybody shunned him. Nobody wanted to talk to him anymore. He wasn't allowed to come to any of the classes, and he just made a fool of himself, you know? He could have just avoided that by being real, by showing up saying, hey, I don't know anything. I want to learn. You know, that's more honorable and more respectful than lying about who you really are. You know, and that's disgusting, and it's so disappointing when we find that happening to people that we know. It's just disgusting. You know, think about Facebook, right? Think about Instagram. Think about social media. You know, I have Facebook. I'm not against you if you have Facebook, but you know what? I'm not going to go put my bad days on there. You know what I mean? I mean, look, I'll admit it. You know, if I have a bad day or if, you know, Jessica's yelling at me and trying to beat me up, I'm not going to tell you guys about that stuff, you know? I'm going to tell you the good stuff. Why would I put my dirty laundry out there? You know what I mean? It makes no sense. But, you know, with that being said, right, there's a lot of people that make themselves, I mean, they look perfect all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, they've everything they do touches to gold, or turns to gold, rather. I mean, it's just they can do no wrong. All their friends are perfect. I mean, if you're not perfect, it's like you can't even look at their page. And then all of a sudden, God brings it around to where you meet these people, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute, man. This is not what I see on Facebook. You're actually quite different. In fact, you're real fake, rather, you know? And on Facebook, you know, and in these other social media outlets, I mean, you can make yourself look, you know, 10 years younger, and you're like, man, what in the world? Jessica was showing me these videos of these ladies. Were they in Japan or somewhere in Asia? But they looked a certain way. You know, they look like Guess Who characters. You know how they have like a real narrow chin and the big cheekbones. And they just look like normal, you know, healthy ladies. And then all of a sudden they start peeling off their mask. I'm like, man, that's some good stuff. Just by looking at them, I couldn't tell that they had a mask on, you know, and they start peeling off this makeup and they look way different. I'm like, whoa, you know, that would be a trap. I mean, could you imagine like marrying somebody like that? And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, by the way, I got to tell you something. They pull this mask off and look completely different. I mean, you don't even look Japanese. You look like, I don't know. I better just stop while I'm at. You get the point, right? You know, we don't want to be like that, right? We don't want to be fake. Just be real. You know, it's just always, I mean, if you want to gain friends, just be who you are. You know what I mean? And for us, that's not always just good enough. We need to be people that are striving to do better, striving to always grow and gain knowledge and gain wisdom. Why? Because we serve God. You know what? It's not for us to be like the world, right? They love to portray themselves and feign themselves to be, you know, these high-speed heroes when in reality, they really aren't. You know, and let's say they are. You know, let's say, okay, take these Hollywood actors, take these Major League Baseball players. You know what? A lot of those people, they don't have any interest in the things of God at all. So what shall it profit a man, you know, to gain the whole world but to lose his very own soul? You know, do you really want to model your life who's, you know, born again, a Bible-believing Christian? Do you want to model your life after somebody like that? And the answer should be no. No, that's vain. That's going to profit you nothing. In fact, it's going to bring God's wrath on you because you're a child of God. So let's move on here. Turn, go to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter number 20. So why do people feign themselves? Why do people put on a front? Why do people want to be somebody or portray themselves to be somebody they're not? And point number one, I said, is because of fear. You know, whether it's a physical fear or whether it's a fear of protecting the image that they built of themselves in their own minds, or whether it's because they're afraid of the truth, it doesn't really matter. The point is, it's always going to be because of fear. That's why people feign themselves to be somebody they're not. Now, number two, why do people feign themselves to be somebody they're not? Is because they want to cause hurt and they want to cause damage. Luke chapter 20, look at verse 19. It says, and the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Verse 20, and they watched him and sent forth spies, now don't miss this, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. You see that? These Pharisees, these religious scribes, these non-denominational repent of your sins preachers of their day, they sent people into the midst of Jesus and his disciples, and they feigned themselves to be just men. And you know what? We've talked a lot about this the last couple weeks. I mean, Pastor Menes preached about this on Friday. That was a great sermon. If you haven't heard it, please go back and listen to it. You know, but this is just something that we have to deal with. There are people that come to churches, or even people that come to your work, that'll try to cause hurt and damage. They'll try to pretend that they are somebody who they really aren't, to make you look bad. And I've seen this a lot in the workforce. I don't care where you guys work. I guarantee you there's people like this there. They want to make you look bad. They'll look at you and they'll know something is different about you. You know what? This guy is being honest. They know in their minds, eventually, you're going to make them look bad. And guess what? Now they've got to come find a way to destroy your image to the boss and to the rest of the coworkers so that they can gain an advantage, so that they can get over you. Because it's easier to do that in their minds than it is to actually just put forth the hard effort that's required to be a good worker. So, look at verse 21. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Now, you can leave your place there and go back to, go to 2 Samuel chapter number 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14. And I don't know how many of you guys know this, but it was about a month ago or 2 months ago. We had this idiot come into our church. He came in here, maybe 3 or 4 times with a guy, Travis. You know, this guy's so stupid. He couldn't even put his wolf costume or his sheep's costume on all the way. I mean, he's got his tail and like half his fang sticking out, you know, when he comes in here. And we all know something's up, but you know, you want to give people the benefit of the doubt. You want to hope, you know, but it's not true. This guy comes in here, I don't know, like 3 or 4 times, right? He tried to feign himself to be a just man. You know why he did that? So that he could go on Facebook, so that he could go on YouTube and be like, I pulled my family out of this cult. I pulled my family out of this church because they preach hate. They preach against gay people. They preach, and they're a cult, and their pastor, he yells and he gets mad, and he called my wife a beast, and he calls brothers reprobates. Yeah. You see, he came in here not because he was interested in the preaching, not because he wanted to serve God, not because he wanted to get along with anybody or grow or anything like that. He came in here for one purpose, and that was to cause hurt. And he didn't do it because he was stupid, and thank God for that. You know, I like some of these false prophets that are just so dumb they can't even get their costumes on straight. And that was the case with this guy, you know. And so finally, Caden just banned him from our YouTube page. And he's probably listening today. But, you know, that guy's weak. But, you know, he's just somebody that wanted to come in here and cause issues, you know. And it's just stupid. We just have to deal with this from time to time. You know, he feigned himself to be a just man. And it turned out he was just an idiot. So, you know what? That's another reason why bullies are the way that they are. Right? It's because if they can make you feel bad, then they can make themselves feel better. You know, this guy, he was on YouTube and all this stuff saying, you know, they preach hate against the gay people and they do this and they do that. And it's like, you don't even go soul winning. When was the last time you knocked on somebody's door, pal? Never. Never. You know what they did? They rented a kid and came here, and I'm half joking about that. I don't know if that's true. It's just my suspicion, you know. I don't know. You know, and try to, I pulled my family out of that church. Yeah, right. Every time that guy came here, he bounced as soon as the service was over.
Right.
You know, the first service that we had in this building here, when I saw him come in here, I ran through that door right there, and I stood at the main entrance out there and waiting for him to come out so I could shake his hand and just try to talk to him and try to get a little bit more insight on this guy. And he's just like, oh, okay. You know, he just couldn't get out of here fast enough. And that's why I was like, this guy is definitely in trouble. And sure enough, Brother David found him, you know. It's funny, you know, don't mess with this church. The Acres will find out who you really are. I promise you that. Don't mess with that family. They'll catch you. I promise. So, thank God for that. All right. So number one, Why do people feign themselves to be somebody they're not? It's because of fear. Number two, it's to cause hurt and to do damage. And number three, it's to gain sympathy for attention's sake. So if you're there in 2 Samuel, look at 2 Samuel 14, look at verse number one. It's kind of a long story, we're gonna go through it because there's a lot that we can learn in this situation here. So if you're familiar with Absalom and that whole situation, you might understand, or you might know that that Absalom's half-brother Amnon, right, he forced his sister Tamar, and we don't have time to get into that, but basically, like any brother would, he was angry when he found out and eventually conspired to kill him. David was angry about the situation. Absalom had to flee, and in chapter 13, it leaves off telling us that they could perceive that David's heart was towards Absalom, and so now Joab is trying to get Absalom to come back into the into Jerusalem, to come back into the area. And so he comes up with this plan to have a wise woman pretend to be somebody she's not. So let's pick this up here. Verse 1, it says, "Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. And Joab sent it to Tekoa and fetched thence a wise woman and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner and put on now mourning apparel and anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that had a long time mourned for the dead." So you can see this little plot that Joab's got going on here. He's concocted this scheme, and he's going to go ahead and go for it. Now, jump to verse number 5. And what we're going to see here is we're going to see some things to watch out for, okay? And number one is when people are giving way too much detail that you didn't ask for. If you remember the story that we read in the beginning of the sermon with the Amalekite, remember how he really poured it on and he really kind of brought forth a lot of extra details, and David's just kind of like, come on, get to the point. Not always, but many times when somebody is giving you a lot of extra details that you didn't ask for, it's because they're trying to sucker punch you. They're trying to hoodwink you. They're trying to get you to buy the story that they've made up about themselves. And you're going to see that here in verse number 5. It says, "And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, I am indeed a widow woman, and mine husband is dead, and thy handmaid had two sons, and they two strove together in the field, and there was none to part them, but the one smote the other and slew him. And behold, the whole family is risen against thine handmaid, and they said, Deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him, for the life of his brother whom he slew, and we will destroy the heir also, and so they shall quench my coal which is left, and shall not leave to my husband neither name nor remainder upon the earth." And then in verse 8 it says, "And the king said unto the woman, Go to thine house, and I will give thee charge concerning thee." So she gives this long dissertation, right? And she's giving all these details that the king just needs to know the problem. Like, what ails you? What's going on? Right? But she gives a lot of extra details. And sometimes that is necessary. So don't get me wrong, okay? Sometimes, you know, when somebody comes up and asks you, hey, what's going on? Sometimes you might feel the need to give a good backdrop story. I get that. I understand that. But in this situation here, remember that she, under the order of Joab, has feigned herself to be somebody that she's not. Right? And what does she do? She says a bunch of extra stuff. Why is that? Because Joab sat around and he thought about this story and he dreamed up all these things and put these words in her mouth so that the king would believe her. Okay, that's what's going on here. So number one, giving way too much detail when asked questions. If you ask somebody a question and maybe you're suspicious of a situation and they just really beat around the bush, you know, you might be dealing with somebody who is fake. Now, number two, what you're going to see here is when they don't ever let you get a word in. Okay, when they never let you get a word in. Because look at verse 8, it says, "And the king said unto the woman, Go to thine house, and I will give charge concerning thee." In verse 9, "And the woman of Tekoa said unto the king, My lord, O king, the iniquity be on me and on my father's house, and the king and his throne be guiltless." So she's cutting him off, right? He gives her a solution, and she doesn't want to take it right away. She doesn't want to buy it. She's like, wait. Right? She's got an agenda here. That's why she won't let him get a word in. Now look at verse 10. "And the king said, Whosoever saith aught unto thee, bring him to me, and he shall not touch thee anymore. Then said she, I pray thee, let the king remember the Lord thy God, that thou wouldest not suffer the revengers of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son. And he said, As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of thy son fall to the earth." Right? So she's really trying to pour it on here. So, well, don't let the avengers of blood kill my son. But he's already told her what to do. You see what's going on here? She won't let him get a word in. Why? Because she has an agenda. She's pretending to be somebody else, and she wants him to buy it hook, line, and sinker. Look at verse 12. "Then the woman said, Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak one word unto my lord the king. And he said, Say on." So he's like, all right, fine. You're not going to let me talk? You're not going to buy my advice? Then
Keep running your mouth. Look at verse 13. And the woman said, "Wherefore then hast thou sought such a thing against the people of God? For the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty, and that the king doth not fetch home again his banished."
So she's talking about Absalom here, right? She's having to slide that in the middle of this bubble of just babbling garbage that she's made up because she has pretended to be somebody that she's not, right? And then verse 14, "For we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Now therefore that I am come to speak of this thing unto my lord the king, it is because the people have made me afraid, and thine handmaid said, I will now speak unto the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his handmaid." So you can see what's going on here, right? She had to slide that little thing in there about Absalom. She did it very subtly. But David, again, obviously he had his issues. We all know that. But he was a man after God's own heart. He did have a lot of discernment, and he does have a lot of wisdom. Look at verse 13. As the rest of the story, we're going to learn how we can deal with somebody who's fake, somebody who's not real. "And the woman said, Wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? For the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty, in that the king doth not fetch home again his banished." Sorry, look at verse 8. Look at verse number 18. Sorry, I wanted to read verse 13 again. Go to verse 18. It says, "Then the king answered and said unto the woman, Hide not from me, I pray thee, the thing that I shall ask thee. And the woman said, Let my lord the king now speak." So David's now suspicious. But why is he suspicious? Because she came to him with this big dramatical story, right, about her son, about how they strove together and one died. And all of a sudden, now she kind of switches it up to Absalom. And he's like, "Wait a minute, why? You're in distress. You're in trouble. Aren't you supposed to be worried about your son? Now you want to worry about my issues and my family problems?" And so he catches on to that, right? He's not stupid. He's wise. Now look at verse 19. "And the king said, Is not the hand of Joab with thee in all this? And the woman answered and said, As thy soul liveth, my lord the king, none can turn to the right hand or to the left from aught that my lord the king hath spoken. For thy servant Joab, he bade me, and he put all these words in the mouth of thine handmaid." So just remember this. If you think you might be dealing with somebody who's fake, or maybe you're not sure, you need to ask questions, listen, process the information. But you know what? It's not going to really help you much if you don't learn to gain experience. I mean, think about that. You know, everybody in here goes soul winning, right? And I'll bet you, if you were to talk to yourself 10 years ago, if you could go back in time, you would probably notice a big difference in your people skills. I mean, think about it. You learn a lot about people by soul winning. Yeah, yeah. You could tell when people are being fake, right? When you ask somebody, "Hey, are you 100% sure you're on your way to heaven?" "Oh, yeah, I'm sure." "Nice. What are you trusting to get you there?" "Oh, you following the commandments, treating others like I want to be treated, not judging people, not hating." You know, they say all those wrong answers, right? What are they doing? They're trying to feign themselves to be on your side, right? But you know what? What makes a good soul winner, right, is asking questions and listening, right? Listening to what they're saying, picking up on those things, because maybe they don't mean to be, but in many cases they're being fake. They just want you to leave, or maybe they've just got a little bit of pride that you might need to just kind of knock down and chip away so that you can give them the gospel. Right. But you're never going to do it if you don't gain wisdom, man. You've got to learn God's word. You got to gain that knowledge. And then you've got to apply it in your life. That's the only way you're going to get to the point like David was here, where he was like, "Wait a minute, isn't Joab in this?" I mean, think about this. David, he had to have known his men real well, right? Why else would Joab's name come to his mind? Probably because he knew how he was. Maybe he knew how he had a heart, or had a thing, you know, had a friendship with Absalom. He knew his men. He wasn't oblivious. He watched. He was a vigilant king. He was a vigilant person. And like I said, of course he had his mistakes, but nonetheless, he asked the questions. He listened to her, right? He processed the information, and he had the experience. That's how he was able to tell the Amalekite was lying, because of the same thing. Because he had experience ever since he was a child, right? He was always after God's heart. And you know what? It would have been very difficult to pull something over King David. You know, when God's on your side, you know what? You're going to be a better soul winner. You're going to be a better Christian. You're going to have more discernment. You're going to have more wisdom. You're going to be able to tell when people are playing you like a fiddle. Now, real quick, let's finish up here. Look at verse number 20. 2 Samuel 14:20 says, "To fetch out this form of speech hath thy servant Joab done this thing.
And my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God to know all things that are in the earth.
And so I love how the Bible tells us these things here. You know, it says, and my Lord, right, is wise. It's saying, my boss, this king, you know, you, King David, you are wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God to know all things that are in the earth. David was aware. Right, he had situational awareness down pat. He was not oblivious to what was going on in his kingdom. And so he was able to tell when people were lying to him. And you know what? You want to be a leader in your work. You want to be a leader in your home. I don't care if you're, you know, mom, dad, brother, sister. You need to apply these things to your life. You need to gain knowledge and you need to use it daily. That's the key. You need to use that stuff. And that's how you're going to get that level of discernment. Now turn to Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter 5. We're getting close to being done. Hebrews 5. So Hebrews chapter number 5. Look at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 says this. It says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And what are we talking about right now? We're talking about how to be real, right? Not how to be real fake, but also how to spot somebody who's being fake. How are you going to do that? How are you going to learn to discern both good and evil? Well, first of all, you've got to get to the level where you can digest some strong meat, right? Isn't that what the verse says? But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. So you need to progress in your Christianity, obviously, right? Even those who by reason of use. So that means you have to use it, right? You have. That's why we have this memory challenge for the kids so that they can learn these verses, right? They can memorize them and then they can put them to use, right? That's why we go to church 3 times a week so that we can learn the things that are in the Bible and then on the very next day, use those things. You see what I'm saying? Apply those things. That's how we're going to have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that's why these bozos that left our church didn't have any discernment because they couldn't digest meat. In fact, I'm wondering if they could even digest milk for that fact. Turn to Psalms chapter 139. Psalms 139. While you're turning there, I'm going to read for you Colossians chapter 3 verse 9, which says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So look, you're saved, you're born again, you are a Bible-believing Christian. That new man inside of you is ready to go, is ready to work. All you have to do is make the decision to put it on and walk in the new man every single day. You know what? When you do that, you're going to get discernment. You're going to get to this level here, and you're not going to be played like a fiddle. It says, lie not one to another. Look, we don't want to be real fake. We want to be real. We want to be the same Christian every single day of the week. And I'll tell you, part of that boils down to just being who God made you. Being who God made you. And you know what? This is getting really bad in our world today. For example, Genesis 1:27 says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You know what? Act your gender. You're a woman. Don't desire to be like a man. You know, you're a woman. You should desire to be as feminine as humanly possible. You should be who God created you to be. You should desire that. Right? That is a good thing. That is a wholesome thing. You know, if you're a man, you shouldn't be effeminate, right? You should be the gender that God created you. But we live in a world today that does the exact opposite of this. They think it's okay to blur the genders and to flip them around and turn them on their heads. Why is that? Because we live in a world full of fake people. That's why. You know what? And that's why we need sermons like this, because you know what? Tomorrow we're all going to go back out into the world where we have to work, where we have to do business, and we're going to run into these people. And you know what? If you're not careful, you could get destroyed. You know, I don't care what anybody says. The world's just full of it. These trannies, there's nothing good about these people. They are fake. They are beyond fake, right? Wanting and desiring to be another gender, that is just should blow everybody's mind in here. That shouldn't offend you. Right? God created male and female. And you know what? You should never desire to want to be the other way around. Yeah. That is sick. That is twisted and perverted. And you know what? The world's going to learn that the hard way, unfortunately. You know, when God comes back and says, you know what? I'm done with you fools. And I'm going to destroy you. So Psalm 139, look at verse 13. Psalm 139, verse 13 says this, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." So he says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." You know what? Just be who you are. Look, not everybody in here has the same gifts. Not everybody in here has the same talents. So don't get wrapped up into this covetous ideology where you want to be somebody you're not. Right. Look, I'm not a good singer. I don't desire to be up here leading the songs. This is why God sent us Brother Jeff. You know what I mean? I mean, I could do it. Don't worry, Brother Jeff. I can give you a break when you need to. Right? Now, what I can't control is the people calling you up the very next day saying, "Hey, get better. You know, get back here." But I learned a long time ago, that's just an avenue I'm not going to covet. I'm not going to, you know, feign myself to be a great singer. You know, it's just not going to happen. In fact, if you want to see somebody who's like that, Jessica has this, what's that, the worst church singer in history. You've seen that, right? Now, there's a guy who should have listened to this sermon. Slick. Some people just don't have that gift, you know? And, you know, realize as a Christian that God has fearfully and wonderfully made you. He has made you who he wants you to be. And just live with that. Because, you know what, when you decide to do that, that's when you're going to find real happiness. That's when you're going to be blessed. Right? I'm not trying to sound like Joel Osteen up here, but it's true. Okay? Learn to be who God made you. And you know what? Christians need to act like Christians, right? I keep saying that, but it's so true. We don't want to be like the world's type of Christian, right? Where they say Sunday's for Jesus and football. No. Every day's for Jesus, right? And if you like football, go play it, you know? Yeah. Sit back eating chips off your chest on the couch on Sunday. Come on, man. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So, you know, if you have to change personalities depending on what group you're with, just know you've got a problem, okay? Yep. And look, this isn't an AA meeting, but look, admit you got a problem, right? And change, man. Be real. Don't be real fake. That we've got enough fake people in the world. We don't need any more, right? Look, this church isn't going to be built on a bunch of fake people. You know, I'm thinking about my past and all these, you know, Calvary Baptist churches, these other non-denominational church styles that we went to over the years, the Nazarene churches, the community churches. You know what they're full of? They're full of fake people. That's what they're full of. They're full of people that think they're saved. They're full of people that think they're godly, that think they're righteous, but they really aren't. They're nothing but, I mean, they're just fakes. You know what? And we don't want to be like that. We want to be real. That's why we live stream our services. Hey, here's what we're about. You know what? It was a couple weeks ago we were talking to somebody and, you know, she's like, "I really want to come to church, but I just don't want to find out you're like, you're rolling around on the aisles or doing this kind of stuff." I'm like, "Look, just go to a YouTube channel." You know what? It's like, "Well, you don't have a website." "Well, we don't have a website yet, but that's okay. You can still look us up and figure out real quick what we believe." You know, we don't hide anything here. You know, we don't want to be fake. We want to be real. And if people don't like that, then they don't have to come here. There's the door. Get out. It's that simple. Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You know what? Christ died on the cross, right? The Lord Jesus Christ went to hell for 3 days, 3 nights, rose from the dead. He defeated death. You know what? It's a reasonable thing that we should be holy, right? That we should separate ourselves from the world, that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. It's a reasonable thing. It's okay, right? Just accept that. Make that a reality in your mind and plan to live that way the rest of your life. That's what Paul's telling the Romans here. Look at verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world." So what is the key to not being fake? Not allowing yourself to be conformed to this world. That is a huge portion of this. "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The only way you're going to find out what that perfect and acceptable will of God is for your life, past salvation, is to let yourself be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the only way you're ever going to figure that out. I remember one time this guy crying in this little church that I went to because he didn't know what God's will was for him in his life. And this other guy was trying to console him. And, you know, they were talking for like an hour. We were at this family's house, this little family fellowship thing. And I'll never forget that. I remember thinking, like, why am I here? Man, something is different. Why is this guy whining about this stuff? You know, and I didn't know that much Bible, but I think of that story when I read this, and it's right here. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you can prove what is good, right? So that you can prove what's acceptable, right? That is your discernment. If you want to gain discernment, you want to gain wisdom, if you want to be able to spot people who are fake, you know what? You've got to put on that new man. You've got to do the work. It is the only way it's going to work out for you. Real quick, look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And again, I say this a lot too. People that think more highly of themselves than they ought, they're not thinking soberly. They are spiritually drunk. That's the case. That's what's going on here. So if that's you, knock yourself down a few pegs and get sober, okay? Look, booze isn't the only thing that makes people drunk. It's also pride. And when you're drunk on pride, you cannot spiritually discern good and evil. And that's why those bozos left our church again. You see how that works? They had pride. They let that fester in themselves, and they were never able to prove that acceptable and perfect will of God. Right, because they thought more highly of themselves than they ought. They were not sober. Look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So understanding that, we don't all have to be pastors. Look, sometimes in our movement, in these types of churches, people think, well, I've got to portray myself as wanting to be a pastor, otherwise no one's going to like me, otherwise no one's going to accept me. Look, let's make sure that's not the case. Not everybody was designed to be a pastor. Not everybody was designed to be a song leader. Not everybody was maybe designed to be, you know, a missionary overseas or an evangelist to go overseas. But you know what? We were all designed to give the gospel. Right. That's what I know. We were all designed to go out and give the gospel. And we need to remember that. You know, that is one office that we all share. Look at verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So when we realize that, all of our different gifts and talents make a beautiful thing for God, make a powerhouse for fulfilling the vision that we have to reach our community. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So you could just see the different types of gifts that are listed there, right? You know, if you're better at one of those things than the other, you know, run with it, go with it, use it, apply it, manifest it, because you know what? Iron sharpeneth iron. And that's how we're all going to get better, is by realizing who we are, not trying to be fake, not trying to be somebody we're not, but being who God created you to be. And that's what's going to make this thing run like a well-oiled machine. Amen. So we're almost done here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And keep this in mind. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Samuel 16:7 says this. It says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Look, Jeroboam and his wife, they learned that the hard way, didn't they? Because they thought, you know, maybe we can fool Ahijah. Maybe we can fool the prophet. But God said, no, you're not fooling anybody, because I look on the heart. I'm going to see you for who you really are. And I will expose you. So let's move on here. You're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to read for you a couple more verses here out of John chapter 8. John chapter 8 verse 23 says this. It says, and he said unto them, you're from beneath. I am from above. You're of this world. I am not of this world. So we understand that, right? We know that Christ is not of this world. And if we're in Christ, we are not of this world either, right? So there's another example. There's another reason why we should not allow ourselves to get conformed to this world. John 14:30 says this, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Understand that. The prince of this world, the devil, Satan, has nothing to do with God. So partaking in his things, partaking in his efforts is never going to help you out at all, right? And so keep that in your mind. You want to learn to be real? Get the devil out of your life. Don't pattern yourself after the things that he does. John 18:36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. He's saying, hey, my kingdom's not from here. Realize that. Understand that. You don't belong to this world. You can't play by the same rules that the world does. Right. Because you have a different father. We have a different plan. We are in a different family. We're in a different nation. And so by faking it and trying to be like the world, you know what? All that's going to do is hurt you. All that's going to do is hurt your family. All that's going to do is hurt this church. It's not going to profit any of us anything at all. You know what? We are in the world. We do have to live in the world. You know, we do have to use it. But we have to also just remember that this world's going in the trash someday. 1 Corinthians 7, look at verse 29. He says this. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. Verse 31, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. So look, we have to use the world. Tomorrow, you know, Tuesday, many of us have to go back to work. We have to use the world. That's okay. But let's understand that the fashion of this world, the trends of this world, the ways of this world, it passeth away. Yeah. When you can keep that in your mind and you can keep that perspective, it's going to make your life a lot easier. Yeah. Right? Because then God's going to see that and he's going to bless you for that. Hey, here's a guy who uses the world without abusing it. Amen. That is another key component to being real. Right? I said the title of the sermon is, Are You Real or Real Fake? Look, let's strive to be a church that's real. Let's strive to be Bible-believing Christians that are real all the time, not fake. If you're a babe in Christ, that's fine. You know what? Act your age. You know, strive to be better. Don't try to act more mature than you really are, because all that's going to do is let you down when you get exposed. So let's keep these things in mind. You know, this world's going to pass away. We have to use it. Let's just not abuse it. Inspire us to have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for your words. I thank you for these teachings in the Bible. Thank you so much for all these people that came here this morning, Lord. Please bless the soul winning today and the men's preaching night this evening, and keep us safe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.